you are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
He's behind it. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
Super regionals in the book. I just have to say, Quentin Mills is the luckiest dude on the planet. His Florida Gators come limp into the postseason at 28-27. My Arkansas Razorbacks did not drop a single midweek series. Florida dropped one, I think, what, two out of three they probably dropped?
Yeah, didn't matter.
Did not matter. My team is at home on the couch. Florida Gators are back in Omaha. How does it feel being God's favorite?
It feels pretty good. We've had discussions, you know, behind it. And obviously,
Not on cue, Sean.
That's it, right on schedule. No, I mean, we've had discussions, right? I think the problem with Arkansas, and I actually think I caught an interview with Dave Van Horn, and he alluded to it, and I think he understands the problem. It's just finding a solution to the problem. They don't have much speed. Their power bats were just inconsistent, and it killed them. You know, I'm not here to tell you that I follow the team closely enough to say who's to blame or who's not to. But when you look at Florida, Florida has the ability to have some speed with a guy like Mikey Robertson, some guys off the bench, even Cade Curlin. But then Cade also provides, you know, the ability to hit one. You've got Luke Heyman with the ability to hit one. Like, I just felt like Florida's power hitters in comparison to Arkansas showed up slightly more, and it mattered, right? So that's at the end of the day is, you know, Florida wasn't better by a long shot by any means. They just showed up more so when it mattered than Arkansas's bats. And that's what it came down to. Both teams are elite on paper. There's no argument.
Yeah, I don't remember what week it was, but I felt like I said it week in and week out that, like, Florida can turn it on. Like, all of their advanced stats were still good. Now, they did fall off towards the end of the year, but
remember, they did that last year, too.
You look at them every week, and you're like, how is this team not winning games?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
It's crazy. We looked at UK, and we're like, how is this team winning games, and how's Florida not? When their roster's on paper, you're taking Florida 9 out of 10.
Yep. And we saw a very similar path to Ole Miss in, 22, where they were preseason top five, one of the shorter shots to win it all. They fell completely out of the top 25 at one point of the season. And then by some miraculous destiny-type fate, they make the postseason, and they go on a tear and end up winning it all. But you can look back at that and point to, okay, they had the guys. They didn't have them all at the same time. There were some injuries. Yep. And then once they got it clicking, you couldn't turn them off. And I feel like that's where we're at with the Florida Gators. So much so that I basically ripped up the virtual ticket of them to make the College World Series. My future ticket on them to win it all, plus I think 800, 850, got a terrible number. I put more on it at 20-1.
Looks good.
Because I do think this team, when you look at the right side of the bracket, and for all intents and purposes, I'm going to call this the ACC SEC Invitational in Omaha. I love it. I mean,
we call it basketball the SEC Showdown.
We have talked about it all season long. I felt like it was SEC, ACC, and then everybody else. And top to bottom, the SEC, I felt like, was better. Now that you've kind of got Kentucky in there, who we weren't really buying, Florida that I had written off, and then Georgia, we'll wait and see. I think it's Tennessee, maybe Texas A&M, and then like Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia, you throw them in at that point. So I think it's going to be a very, very good College World Series. I'm very excited. This will be my first trip out there. Get to meet you in person, but that's what took us a little bit longer backstage. We were talking about that, just kind of figuring out logistics of it. But, I cannot wait. Tell me one thing that I need to prepare myself for.
It's long days at the park, you know. So a lot of people don't realize the state of Nebraska, you can't gamble. So we obviously tailor our show to that, you know, so we have to stay in Council Bluffs, which is close. If there's a non-game day, it's 5 minutes, but then you add in game day traffic, as well as, you know, the demand for Ubers, it gets a lot. You're there from, you know, say pre-gaming by 10, 10:30, 11, and you're not leaving the area until 10 o'clock at night. I mean, it's long days, and they've made a great atmosphere within that kind of confines. But again, it's long, you know, you might not see a cloud for 10 miles, is a big thing that I always caution people, you know, don't sit there and be that guy that you don't wear sunscreen because it's brutal out there. But I also think, I think the fan bases can get overwhelming. You know, that the teams that have dominated it are like LSU made it a home game. Mississippi State made it a home game. I expect that to be, I think Kentucky is going to have a really big crowd. It's their first time ever there. Same with Tennessee. Tennessee, I've seen them since 2021 when Vitalo got there the first year. They've gotten increasingly larger. You know, then you throw in a Florida State who has a good fan base out of the South. You know, Florida's showing some dominance. They started, you know, building up some fan bases. UNC, it's a team that hasn't been there in a long time. And then Texas A&M, I think they canceled beach trips last minute and rebooked, you know, to the state of Omaha or Nebraska. So the fan bases, just the long days, I think is something that can get a little overwhelming, but it's all, you know, it's all worth it, I think.
So one of the things we always put in the College World Series guide that will come out probably by Wednesday night is the weather report down in Omaha or up in Omaha for me. This is always a big question mark because you have a lot of rain delays. So right in line with that.
Knock on wood, every year I've went, it's been very nice.
Partly cloudy Friday, scattered thunderstorms Saturday, scattered thunderstorms in the PM of Sunday, isolated thunderstorms Monday.
Lovely. But anything
15 and 14 mile per hour winds Saturday and Sunday, blowing southeast. So for those unfamiliar, the Chuck, as we'll call it, it faces Iowa. The outfield faces Iowa. So it's going to be blowing out in right field?
Yes.
Southeast.
Yeah.
Going to be fun. Okay, so in front of you, you've got the Super Regional recap, just kind of giving you the layout of how all these teams got here. Obviously, we still have Athens to decide. Go Dogs. I hope the NC State can continue this trend because I was kind of curious. I had some people DMing me asking what I was going to do with it. I do have a 12-1 ticket on them, on the Dogs, just to make the College World Series. In the last 5 years, it's hitting at about a 67% clip of teams that have won by six or more runs in game one, but then lost game two. They're only winning 33% of the time.
I think it's a momentum thing.
Yeah. Let's see if it holds true here.
Have you seen Dogs?
I haven't bet a side. I did bet the under 15.5. I think that the perception of overs like in game threes during the regular season versus the postseason, everybody's going to be on a quick trigger. So if you walk a batter or two, they're probably getting pulled. I mean, this is your season. Everything is on the line. I just don't see how this one explodes. I mean, yesterday it was 11-2, still went under 15.5. They're going to keep hanging that, I feel like, every single game. But game one, game two has nothing to do with game three. That's why I lean the under. And I feel like Georgia probably has a little bit more depth in the pen than NC State. But you never know. I mean, this is the time of the year where random people will show up and show out on the biggest stage, which that's why we love college baseball. So I will let you kind of give me your surprises. I didn't do a graphic for the up and down. I feel like everybody probably knows you're up at, you know, hats off to Florida Gators. I don't think there is a team playing up more up right now than them. But what were some things this past weekend that stood out to you? I think I called it that Super Regionals were probably going to be a lot of chalk. Yeah. I think every favorite came through except Florida. They were the outlier here.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky Kentucky was a short favorite at home. Obviously, Tennessee, Texas A&M, they were both heavy favorites. North Carolina and Virginia were too. Obviously, Florida State was against UConn. Although the Huskies gave them a game in game two. But overall thoughts on last weekend?
Well, I'll just real quick, I'll say that I did put a bet on Georgia minus 150. It's a momentum thing. I think this game was played at Raleigh. We're looking at a different scenario. I think NC State being on the road, winning game one versus not winning game two, I think mattered in this series. I think this is Georgia. They didn't even worry about game one. They shook it off. They bounced back. Now the bats are rolling. Home field advantage. Game three, winner gets to Omaha. I think Georgia wins. But, yeah, you know, well, and I'll touch real quick. Yes, UVA obviously was the better seed against Kansas State, but, you know, they obviously weren't seeded in a position to be the higher seed. Obviously, we were hoping it was Arkansas or expecting it was Arkansas. So, yeah, yes, they were better than Kansas State seed-wise, but they were kind of not supposed to be here in the bracketology of things. So, yeah, them and Florida were your outliers. Surprises, man. I obviously Florida, right? That's a given. I'm not surprised in the sense of like you, me, and Smitty have always said the talent's there. It's just when is it going to wake up? And it did. I'm surprised by Ashton Wilson's play. I think that's been incredible, as well as guys like Brody Donay and Mikey Robertson, the guys that step up, like you had mentioned. You know, the teams that win usually have guys that don't usually step up. Last year it was Cade Beloso for LSU. That was massive. So I was surprised by that. I think I was surprised by just how lucky UNC was. You know, obviously they're a great team, but just everything went their way at the end of the game. And, you know, you have to tip your cap to that. You don't win a World Series, whether you're in the pros or in college or any national championship for that matter, without some sort of luck. And it's just, that's how it is. Everybody respects it. But, you know, Kentucky, I think not falling to the moment is, I don't want to say surprising. They've obviously earned my respect. I put an official announcement out. And, you know, I will say this.
Yeah, you owe some bourbon to Todd here.
Yep. I did say that I would get him a bourbon, and I'm going to stand by it. So I gave him they have to make Omaha to get my respect. They did, and I'm a man of my word. So I will say this. I actually was surprised that Tennessee didn't close out Evansville. I just think the way they let that game slip away was surprising. I mean, they had the commanding lead, and then it was like we're done playing baseball for a couple innings, and it cost them. If they slip up like that against a Florida State, against a UVA or UNC, they may not make the finals. Do I think it happens? No. But if it does happen, we can look back and say, well, it does make sense. So those, I think, were my surprises.
Good question here. Think Tennessee is still the clear favorite with them going three games.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Evansville got that game, but then again, like, season on the line, you're the Cinderella. Baseball is a weird sport. Yeah. And I think it was more of a testament to Tennessee and how they came out in game three and won that. And if they don't wear black uniforms every single day in Omaha, I know it's gonna be hot, but damn, I laid it. I laid minus 550 to win one unit, and I'd never felt more comfortable doing that. And you kind of go back to your conversation of value. You know, I went back and looked. I placed a bet on both A&M and Tennessee for one unit each to win it all when they were like plus 800 and plus 850. And yes, those were the shorter shots. But you talk about value now. Bet Rivers has the odds up. Tennessee's plus 250 to win it all, followed by Texas A&M plus 275. So I'm sitting here with, you know, $600 worth of equity. And that to me is still good value. We knew it was going to be chalky. I've said it every single year that college baseball at the end of the day, yes, you're going to have upsets in the midweek. You may have some upsets in the regional round, but it's still a chalky sport. I mean, what, all five of the last five champions have been preseason top eight. They've been in the top 10 in odds, plus 650 for Kentucky, plus 700 North Carolina, plus 900 Florida State, plus 900 Virginia, 17-1 for Georgia, 20-1 still for Florida, 30-1 for NC State.
If you went back in history and you just look at like how many years in between a mid-major is, if you're not taking chalk, you're losing money. I mean, it just is what it is. You're not going to be 100%. You write that mid-major year off and you move on. But like you alluded to, this sport is chalk, right? Chalk talks.
Yep.
It's when we talk about value, I'm a big guy against that word, because what's value? Getting a good number or winning a bet? Well, just because you got a good number doesn't mean you win the bet. I could sit on a 200-1 ticket, but it's a loss is a loss. But if I win plus 600 with Tennessee, well, my wallet likes that low value, as you would call it, you know? So I think sometimes value gets lost, or the right term, how to describe value. So I try to bring that to the table.
Yeah. And we still don't know, like CLV for college baseball, that's pretty subjective still. I don't know. Yes, you can have CLV, but when you're talking about a field of 305 teams fighting for eight spots in Omaha, regardless which bet you make to make Omaha to win it all, like that's a lot of parity. And the things that have to go perfectly right every single week for you to even get to that point. Like, I know Northeastern was a team that we were higher on. They should have won their conference and had a really good shot to pull an upset. And look, they weren't even in the tournament.
I looked back at our preseason guide.
64.
And when you look at our preseason guide, I think we picked six total picks at the very end of it. You had the most out of all five of us in there with two right. But yeah, when you look at it, right, like preseason, everybody's in line with us. Arkansas, you know, Florida to win the national title. You picked UVA to make Omaha, you know, so that was your two right there that are one is right because Florida's still competing. And then you were obviously exactly right with UVA. But to sit there and like you alluded to, out of 310 teams to try to pick six bets that we, you know, decided to do, it's hard. It really is. Nobody saw SEMO eliminating Arkansas. And if you did, then you should probably go play the lottery, you know, preseason. So it's just two out of six. You'll take that. That's 333. That's a Hall of Fame average.
If this is any indication to what I hope DraftKings offers in the postseason in College World Series, I should say, we have a ton of prop bets for tonight's game.
Yeah. Did you see that? That was crazy.
Alternate run lines, alternate totals.
You can't parlay totals.
First inning, Nerfy, Yerfy. It's actually 1.5, which doesn't really surprise me. I like under minus 105 on the 1.5. Game props, correct score, exactas. Like, this is awesome. This is what we need.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get it in all these games in the College World Series. Dorina, thank you. Go Vols. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the
ticket outstanding. I need the Vols to win it all. Heavy rumors coming out of Columbia that Ethan Petrie will be transferring.
Yeah, I'm hearing, you know, I'm hearing a lot of smoke that he's attached to Link Jarrett. Hopefully it's not true. I'd like to see him be a Gator, obviously.
You can't have everybody, Q.
Well,
not everybody can go to Tennessee or Florida.
Hey, we did get Blake Sear, so that was kind of nice. That's a good bet. I'd still take Petrie all day, every day over Blake, but we'll take it. It's a good pick.
All right. Well, I think the biggest surprise for me was Kentucky. I'm proud of them. I mean, we've dogged them all season long, and not so much me dogging them versus I just could not set aside the stats to form an opinion to bet on them. And it resulted oftentimes in me betting against them. And they did lose games. I think my biggest bet of the year was Hagan Smith going in and getting game one. but they still won that series. They are a gritty team, and I've put it out multiple times now on Twitter that they play clean baseball. Now, they did make a couple mistakes there, like right after I bragged about them. I think the outfielder ran in and like dropped the ball, and Oregon State scored a run. Like, that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, what Eric Mangione has done there is impressive. And I'm glad that the Cats are getting to Omaha for the first time. And then the team that I was just disappointed in, unfortunately enough, was on the same side of that. And that was Oregon State. They felt like they were getting healthy. Their pitchers in Jacob Kmatz and Aiden May, I felt like they were going to be up for the challenge, but
I thought they
You got to score runs to win baseball games, and they could not do it. Travis Bezanna just struggled at the plate. Gavin Turley, all the guys that you thought, all right, this is your time to step up against average pitching for Kentucky, they couldn't do it. And that's like a testament to this Kentucky team.
I think it was 4 hits in 2 games.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I think to that point, though, I thought Aiden May and Kmatz I thought they did their parts.
Both of them did.
The game, I think they were only down 3 in both, maybe down 4 in Kmatz. Like, they gave their team an opportunity, and their team just let them down. It's plain and simple.
So, going back to tonight's matchup, I've still got this one pulled up. Logan Whitaker. We going Zach Harris on the other side? Is that who you think it's going to be?
Yeah. I mean, who else do they have, you know? They pretty much burnt. I mean, I guess Evans could come in relief.
I guess the good news is that I think when you're getting blown out, and I talked about this, I feel like maybe on Jeff's show, you don't throw your best arms. So, like,
at all,
you have to throw out a big number like that. And I kind of laughed at myself with the UConn plus 1.5. The final score was 24-4. So, yeah, outside looking in, it was a bad bet all around, not making an excuse. But that score was basically just UConn saying, all right, we know we're going to lose. We're going to throw in some guys that are freshmen. Probably don't get to eat up and just eat up innings. And that's why the scores get out of hand.
That's the smart play.
Georgia and NC State both were beneficiaries to that. Georgia in game 1, NC State in game 2. So that's why I think that the game will go under, because they should have most of their back end bullpen guys that are better available to them.
Absolutely. I agree. If you're in a situation where you're down 14-1 in the 5th, I don't mean to, like, this is, yes, I guess it's considered bad sportsmanship if you kind of white flag this, but you have to think long-term 3-game series. Why are we going to exhaust our best arms and not give ourselves the best chance to win in game 2 and 3? You're still in it. So play chess. Don't play checkers. And I think, like you alluded to, both games were blowouts. So I think both teams were afforded that opportunity to do that. So they probably have the freshest bullpens of anybody in the Super Regionals because of that. And it should show tonight. And I do like your under. I may jump on that with you. But again, I still think Georgia pulls it out. I think the home field advantage is big here. There's certain things you can't put numbers on. And I think that's one of them. I think momentum is the other. So, while Whitaker might slightly be better than Harris as your game 3, I think ultimately Georgia pulls it off. And I want to go back to an honorable mention for a surprise. I was surprised how well UVA's pitching has looked the last 2 weeks. I mean, and I gave credit to him on Twitter. Jay Wolfolk looks like an All-American right now with what he's done for them in the 2 spot. And then they can come back with Joe Savino if they need another guy. UVA is scary. That offense can hit anybody in the country. And if they can pitch to that capability, they're making that bracket very hard. So that is honorable mention, something I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Tennessee handles the ACC. I mean, it's literally them and three ACC teams, and then we have a chance of having all SEC on the other side.
I think they can get through Florida State because I think it's Jamie Arnold and then a big drop off.
Yeah. Real quick, because I know the run projections on our site have been called into some question. Again, that is to determine value on odds. If we have Evansville plus 470 and you can get plus 700, that doesn't mean that they should be plus 470 and you should go bet the plus 700 for value. We are trying to find a true line. The odds are going to be way off from what we project in most cases, but it's just to help you try to handicap. There was not a resource out there. That being said, they were like deadly accurate the next day. And then this run total right now at 15.5 in Georgia, NC State tonight. We've got NC State losing 8-6. And then if you look at DraftKings, the Georgia run total is 7.5 juice to the over. NC State, it's 6.5. I mean, I feel like this is going to be a 13-14 run game if we're pushing that total. But I want to bet Georgia. It's not fiscally responsible for me to bet Georgia. I've already got enough on them to make it. I don't want to hedge it because I don't think there's any value in taking NC State plus 1.5 or plus 125, whatever they are. You got any advice there? Correct score bet. Haha, trust the site. Yeah, let's see. 8-6 exacto what that would be.
No, I mean, about that. I think there's that fine line of what do you want to do? Do you want to sit back and either cash the ticket or you don't? And in the sense of like you're sitting on a Georgia future right now. I always tell people, right, because I'll get a lot of DMs. Hey, what do you think? Listen, I'm not 100%. I've hovered around 60% all year. I'm wrong 4 out of 10 times. So I'm far from perfect, but I go with my gut a lot. You know, there was a stretch where maybe this year I started looking too forward into the numbers and didn't go with my gut. But at the end of the day, I'll always classify myself, number one, as a eye test guy, number two, analytical guy. And I know some people are opposite. If you like Georgia tonight, be responsible in your wager amount, bet Georgia. If you're somebody that's sitting on a ticket and you have this weird feeling in your stomach or you have doubts that maybe, hey, you don't want to lose two tickets, don't bet it. Be smart. Like, I'm not here to tell you who you need to bet or how to bet. I'm here to offer advice, and I could speak for Matt and Smitty as well when I say that. We're here to offer advice, our opinions. Doesn't mean we're always right in what we would do. That doesn't mean that, you know, maybe we would jump off a bridge. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have to.
Yeah, and to touch on that, this real quick while I've got it up, it's plus 4,500 to get 8-6 Georgia win. But yeah, and that was something that we had texted about and talked about was I felt like throughout the season I'd gotten so obsessed with using the website that I couldn't handicap with my gut anymore, which is how it all started because there wasn't a resource out there to even back it up. It was all gut handicap. Yeah. And I got away from that, and I think that's why I struggled. But it's going full gut from here on out, and that's why I would bet Georgia at this point if I did make a bet. And Dorina said, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Did y'all hear Tony V's post-game presser last night? Heck yeah, I did. That was great. You know,
I'm hearing
what he was talking about at the beginning when he said don't waste his or your time if you're wanting to come get a payday.
I will say this. I've got sources on both teams. I've obviously had conversations with them today about it. The story is wild, or I would say the story's coming out. Certain timelines don't add up. Somebody, and ultimately Blake Sear knows the answer. I wouldn't lean one way or the other, but I'll just say this. Whether somebody's playing two sides or somebody's not, and the story's just getting misinterpreted, the commitment was known to Florida several days ago from good sources that I trust. But I also know that he was also on campus in Tennessee this weekend. So it's a 50-50 shot. If it was to him, I wouldn't say it's 100%.
I feel like that's just the nature of the game now. I mean, it's pay to play. You want guys. Now, the whole NIL stuff is
it's crazy,
screwed
dude.
Up. We've got to have some regulations with it.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just, it's whatever donor can fork out enough money to win a championship.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I posted about it and I got questioned on it because earlier in the day I had made a post like, who the transfer wish list that I would want is. But then I made a post like retweeting that, it was Gary Gilmore's press conference final and how he just said he wants no parts of it. And I said, I agree. Like, it's out of control. And somebody had questioned me just based off of my wish list posts. And I said, look, just because you don't agree with it or you agree with it doesn't mean that you don't adapt to it, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's your job and you have to win. If you're, trying to take the approach of, well, I'm just going to beat the system and not do it, you're going to lose. That's just how it is. So, again, you can still advocate for rule change and advocate for a better system. But at the end of the day, until that system is in place that you prefer, you have to operate with what's in front of you. So while it's disgusting, these teams have to do it or they're irrelevant.
Yep. I completely agree. And that's another thing that worries me about Dave Van Horn. I think he's pretty much a purist on the standpoint of he's not giving a kid $2 million to come play. And I think that's why you're not getting the big names. And like, I know he talked about, he had Chase Burns on campus. He had Paul Skeens when he went to LSU. He's had these guys, but he's not opening up the checkbook to make them commit. And
I can tell you who is.
Yep. There's a handful of them.
Pretty obvious.
Well, that wraps it up. We will we'll be back probably after the guide comes out, maybe Thursday for a show, and then Friday morning, early, we're headed to Omaha. We actually meet each other in St. Louis and then fly into Omaha together. So it's going to be crazy. Felt like he's one of my best friends now, and I've never met him in person. Pretty wild.
It's crazy.
But I see his ugly face all the time. Fair enough. I was told it was from someone really in the know. But like I said, it's 50-50. No, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have a story about it.
We appreciate the interaction, Dorina. We, like you said, spread the show. We love it. And, yeah, there's always three sides to a story.
All right. Go Dogs. I know you're never supposed to say these two teams in conjunction with each other. But go Dogs today and then go Vols the rest of the way. For Q Millie and myself and Smitty somewhere, probably at Lowe's doing yard work, whatever he's doing. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you later this week and be sure to be on the lookout Wednesday for the College World Series guide as we drop it. Thanks, guys.